Welcome to Torah Timachanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13. Chapter 11 and 12 has taken us to Malchus Yehuda and told the story first of the evil Ataliah and then of the rule of Yoash Melech Yehuda, his renovations, his repair campaign, and the attacks of Aram on him, and finally the assassination by his servants. Chapter 13 takes us back to Malchus Yisrael. We recall that Yehu, who had killed out the dynasty of the family of Ahab, which had included four kings, was told that he would have four generations of kings from him, even though, as we saw in Perek Yud, he had certainly fallen short of his mandate to bring Malchus Yisrael back to Hashem. And in our Perek, verse 1, we get to know his son, Yehoahaz Melech Yisrael, who ruled for 17 years. It may be helpful at this point to write down on a paper the two family trees that we will be discussing, Malchus Yisrael, which is Yehu, his son Yehoahaz, his grandson Yehoash, and his great-grandson Yeravam Melech. These are the kings of Yisrael, and Malchei Yehuda. Yoash, his son Amatziah, his grandson Azariah, also known as Uzziah. These are the kings of Yehuda. So those two family trees. Just to help us keep track of who we are talking about in these prakim that keep going from one to the other. And so now, Yehoahaz Melech Yisrael. In verse 2, it tells us clearly he did evil in the eyes of Hashem, and he stuck to the sins of Yeravam, those calves in Beit El and Dan that had now been around for so many years. We've already analyzed this in early chapters and quoted Rashi, who explained that it was really about keeping the people away from the Beis HaMikdash because they felt that their kingdom was threatened if Bnei Yisrael would be exposed to the Beis HaMikdash and its strong connection to the Yehuda kings. So we will just add here that this made the actions of this family of Yehu even more unforgivable. Hashem had guaranteed them power for four generations. They had nothing to be afraid of, but they stuck to the agalim of Yeravam. These calves are always called the sins of Yeravam ben Nevat. We have a tradition that everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah, Hachayim v'Hamesim, those who are alive and those who are no longer alive. Which begs a question, those who are no longer in this world, what mitzvos and averos can they still do? They're not alive, why judge them? There is a powerful answer given by the Chafetz Chaim. People's actions live on way beyond their lifetimes. Choices they made in their lifetime continue to cause damage or benefit, possibly for years, decades, or centuries to come. Someone starts a foundation for charity, a yeshiva, a chesed initiative, teaches a Torah thought. Anytime, anywhere, someone's life is enriched through this, the original founder gets credit and reward, even after his lifetime. Rashi's words continue to inspire. People are still being healed in the beautiful hospital Shaarei Tzedek that Dr. Wallach founded. And of course, this works for Averos as well. How much death and destruction have the writers of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion caused? And here in our Sefer, we see every time another king falls through the net of these calves, the Pasuk reminds us that it was Yeravam ben Nevat who built them, and he is held responsible for this new failure as well. Truly a sobering thought. In verse 3, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael, Vayitneim b'yad Chazael melech Aram uv'yad ben Hadad ben Chazael, Kol Hayamim. Hashem was angry with Yisrael, and he placed them in the hands of Chazael Melech Aram and in the hands of Ben-Hadad, the son of Chazael, all the days. This Chazael, who has caused so much death and destruction to Yisrael, now also his son, Ben-Hadad. Although you gotta wonder at Chazael naming his son after the king he had murdered. Verse 4. Vayichal Yehoahaz es pinei Hashem, vayishma elav Hashem, ki ra'ah es lachatz Yisrael, ki lachatz osam melech Aram. Yehoahaz prayed to Hashem, and Hashem listened to him, for he saw Yisrael's oppression, for Aram's kings oppressed them. The Malbim notes that it does not mention teshuva here or a changed path, and we see the power of a sincere cry to Hashem as it stands even alone, an island of goodness in a sea of misdeeds and evil. And this nation who is so caught up in idol worship, so far from doing right, but Yehoahaz, vulnerable and afraid, cries out to Hashem, and Hashem listens to him. In verse 5, Vayiten Hashem li Yisrael Moshiach, Hashem grants the Jewish people a savior, Vayetzu mitachas yad Aram, and they were able to extract themselves from under the control of Aram, Vayeshvu b'nei Yisrael ba'ahaleim ketmol shelshom, and the Jewish people were able to sit in their tents like yesterday and the day before. Who is this savior? This savior is actually Yehoahaz's son Yoash, who according to many commentaries was actually crowned in Yehoahaz's lifetime, and life was able to return to normal. Even though, Pasuk Vav tells us, Ach lo saru mechatos beis yirava masher hachatiyas Yisrael bahalach v'gam ha'ashera amda b'shomron. They did not turn away from the sins of Yeravam's house, who had caused B'nai Yisrael to sin. He went in that path. And also the Ashera still stood in Shomron. Abarbanel reminds us that although Yehu had eradicated the Baal, he inexplicably had left the Ashera. And here we are with that. And now in verses 8 to 13, it describes the transitioning to the grandson of Yehu, Yehoahaz's son Yoash, who ruled for 16 years. And yes, for some of this time, there is an overlap, as we see in Pasuk Yud, verse 10, of Yoash, the king of Yehuda, and Yehoash, the king of Yisrael. And in verse 11, we sadly once again see Vayaseh hara b'enei Hashem. He did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Lo sar mikol chatos yiravam benevat asher hachatiyas Yisrael ba'halach. He did not turn away from the sins of Yeravam benevat who had caused B'nai Yisrael to sin. No, he walked on that path too. And in verse 12 and verse 13, it closes the life of Yoash. But next parak, we will return to hear many more details about this Yoash, as well as his interactions and wars against the king of Yehuda. In fact, in the very next pasuk, we hear about a very emotionally charged interaction between this Yoash and the Navi Elisha. Abarbanel offers that maybe Yirmiyahu, the author of Malachim, wanted to put a buffer between this sad verse 11, talking about all the failures and sins of Yoash, before it speaks about Elisha. And so it records his death and his son Yeravam taking over here before this story. And now in verse 14, Ve'elisha chala eschalyo asher yamuspo. Elisha falls ill to the illness that he will eventually die from. Vayered elav Yoash melech Yisrael, and Yoash the king of Yisrael went down to him. Vayevchel panav, and he cried. Vayomar, and he says, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael ufarashav, my father, the chariot of Israel and its riders. We know these words. These are the words that Elisha himself had used when facing the loss of his Rebbe, Eliyahu Hanavi. Amazing that this king, so far from Hashem and doing the right thing, still has such an emotional reaction to Elisha's imminent death. Elisha himself is moved. Abarbanel understands this next story as Elisha summoning his last ounces of energy to daven one more tefillah and beg Hashem one more time to save B'nai Yisrael from Aram, who has been so devastating. And so in verse 15, Vayomer lo Elisha, kach keshes v'chitzim, vayikach elav keshes v'chitzim. Elisha tells him to take a bow and arrows, and he takes a bow and arrows. In verse 16, Vayomer lemelech Yisrael, harkev yatcha ala keshes. He says to the king of Yisrael, place your hand on this bow, vayarkev yado, and he does. Vayasem Elisha yadav al yedei ha-melech. Elisha places his hand on the king's hands. According to Abarbanel, this was Elisha's way of demonstrating, I will fight this for you. I am using my schus, my prayer for you. Your sweet words, your sorrow of separation, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael, Ufarashav, my father, chariot of Israel and its riders, you are so scared to lose me and how I've protected the Jews in battle. I want you to know that my help can continue even after I am dead. In fact, we will see another miracle as well after Elisha's death in verses 20 and 21. But now, back to our story. Often, when Nevi'im want to encourage their listener and demonstrate that the prophecy will occur, it will come true, they add a symbolic action to their words. And so here, in verse 17, Vayomer psach ha'chalon kedma, vayiftach. He tells him to open the window towards the east, and he opened it. Vayomer Elisha yirei, and Elisha says, shoot. Vayor, and he shoots the arrow. Vayomer chetz tishu al Hashem, and he says, the arrow of salvation to God. Vechetz tishua ba'aram, and an arrow of salvation in Aram. Vihikisas Aram ba'afik ad kalei. You will conquer Aram in Afik until you finish it. Aim eastward because Aram is to the east of Yisrael. Afik was a city of Yehuda that Ahav had successfully won from Aram. And so, just as a victory had happened there before, so this is a good sign for future miracles. In verse 18, he tells him to take the arrows, and he took them, and he says to the king of Israel, hit to the ground, and he hit them three times, and then he stopped. And the king and the man of Hashem was very angry at him. And he said, oi, had you hit it five or six times, then you would have conquered Aram until you finish them. And now, you will succeed in conquering three times. Frustrated with a lost opportunity, and perhaps unable to summon any more strength for a second prayer so close to death, Elisha tells him, you will succeed three times, but you could have gotten rid of them completely. And now, in verse 20, we begin a fascinating story. Vayamas Elisha vayikberuhu. And Elisha died, and they buried him. Ugdudei Moav yavo'u ba'aretz ba'shana. And the troops of Moab would come to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of every year. Vayihi heim kovrim ish in verse 21. And they were burying someone. Vihine ra'u es hagdud. And they saw the troops, and they were scared. Vayashlichu es ha'ish bekever Elisha. So they threw the corpse into the grave of Elisha. Vayelach vayigah ha'ish ba'atzmos Elisha. And the corpse rolled and touched the bones of Elisha. Vayichi, and the man lived. Vayakam al raglav, and got up at his feet. Remember the Pishnayim? Elisha had requested double of Eliyahu back in Parak Beis in chapter 2. Well, just as Eliyahu was able to revive the dead once, Elisha will do it twice. Once in his lifetime, back in chapter 4, the son of the Isha Shunamis, and once in his death, right here. But who was this person? And did he really live? So one opinion brought in the Gemara Sanhedrin is this man was an evil person and should not have been buried near Elisha. The Malbim explains that the body of Elisha that has been so pure in his lifetime has become like an Aron Kodesh, a holy ark. It is holy and does not deserve the pain of sharing its grave with a Rasha like this. And so the body got up on its feet and fell somewhere else to die again. But another opinion brought down in Medrash Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer says, no, this was a tzaddik, a righteous man, and we know who it was. This was Shalom ben Tikva, who was such a kind person, he would fill up canteens of water to give thirsty travelers to drink. In the merit of his kindness, his wife became the prophetess, the famous Nevi'ah Huldah, who we will meet later on in our Sefer. And that this man did not only get up on his feet, but he went home and he lived for years after. He had a child. In fact, it is this child, Hanamel ben Shalom, who will have communication later on with Yirmiyahu Hanavi, incidentally, the author of our Sefer. Our chapter concludes with the troubles and successes with Aram, reminding us first in verse 22 that Hazael, the king of Aram, oppressed the Jewish people all the days of Yoachaz. And then, because of his sincere prayer, in verse 23, Vayachan Hashem Osam, Vayirachameim, Hashem had mercy on Bnei Yisrael, Vayifen Aleim, and he turned towards them, Leman Briso, as Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, because of his covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'lo avah hashchisam. Hashem did not want to destroy them. V'lo hishlicham ayal panav harata. He did not throw them from his face until now. And in verse 25, just as Elisha had promised before his death, Yoash ben Yehoahaz retook the cities from Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the king of Aram, who had taken them from Yehoahaz, his father at war. Three times he conquered, and he was able to restore those cities. These chapters can be confusing. A lot of names, years, and wars. But let us not lose sight of the message. Hashem is still holding on to his children. He has not given up on them. And every time there is even the smallest sign of life, the weakest heartbeat of Jewish soul in the form of a sincere cry for help from Yoahaz, or the understanding that Yoash demonstrates of the role Elisha the Navi plays in his cry, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Ufarashav, how quickly Hashem shows his love, his salvation, and his miracles. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker, Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.